Breakfast with Martin Pester.
Earlier this morning, we had Ted Blom on the show, energy expert, with a couple of thoughts around Eskom and potential load shedding going forward. In case you missed it, this
I was asked to do a review about a week ago. I didn't put numbers to my scenario. I just said that towards the end of June, maybe early July, the system would become very rocky. Eskom's actually put numbers to that. So that confirms what I had predicted before they put out their report. The good scenario under Eskom is 3 days of load shedding in quarter three, which is 91 days. The average scenario, or the middle scenario, is 52 days of load shedding out of 90 days. And the scenario three, which Eskom put to Parliament, in other words, to the portfolio committee, Mr. Gordhan and co, talks about 73 days of load shedding out of 90. So basically, only weekends with no load shedding. The rest of the day is working day is load shedding. Jeez. So that's, I mean, that's disastrous.
That's,
and far worse than what bad. I even predicted. But what I was saying is that certainly from a business point of view, this is very concerning. Or it might not even happen. I mean, if half of business doesn't come back because they're bankrupt, this won't happen.
You know, in the interest of being prepared, especially a lot of people are working from home and need to work from home going forward in the next couple of months because of this pandemic and the lockdown, you know, you need to be prepared. If there is going to be load shedding, we need to know about it. Maybe you want to, you know, have the necessary backup, etc., etc. And besides, I think we deserve to know. Well, that's what Ted Blom had to say. He's the energy expert. Now, let's check that against André de Ruyter, who is the group chief executive of Eskom Holdings, of Eskom, who's on the other line. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time. André, how are you?
Pretty good. Thanks, Martin. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to respond to what Ted said this morning.
Anytime. How's the lockdown been treating you and your family? You okay?
Yes, personally, probably working harder than ever before.
Yeah.
We have taken advantage of the lockdown to do a significant amount of short-term maintenance.
Okay.
And that has added about 2,000 megawatts of reliable capacity that we didn't have access to prior to the lockdown. So we've really made use of the unfortunate events surrounding the global pandemic to do catch-up maintenance.
Because obviously the power supply demand was much less, with a lot of businesses not drawing power. Ted, they alluded to the fact that the mines in South Africa would draw the most power. Is that correct?
Mining used to be a very big customer. Over the past decade or so, the prominence of mining in the electricity market has declined, as mining has declined. And mineral processing and manufacturing still are large consumers. Some of them have been operating throughout the lockdown. Others have also taken advantage of the lockdown to come and do maintenance. Overall, we have seen a significant decrease in the average consumption of electricity. But what is quite interesting is that last night, for example, we saw peak demand of 31,000 megawatts. Now, bear in mind, just to give context, that typically our peak demand would have been about 27 to 28,000 megawatts. So really steep demand rise. And we were able to supply that 31,000 megawatts without reverting to diesel power generation. So good news and a good omen for what lies ahead for the rest of winter.
Probably because the president spoke, people were probably all up at the same time, TVs on, heaters getting cold now and stuff, so the demand is going to increase. Now, let's talk about the forecast. Is there load shedding on the horizon?
So we have developed three scenarios, as Ted indicated. The base case scenario that we've put forward, which we regard as having an 80% probability, at this point in time, indicates that there is a moderate risk of 3 days of stage one, which of course is the lowest stage of load shedding, during July. And there is upside to that forecast as we implement our maintenance program and as we work to procure additional electricity. So that's an 8 scenario. The other scenario is
Andre, sorry to interrupt you. You were breaking away there. You're just breaking away. So I just want to recap. 80% chance of 3 days a week, level one, stage one.
Only 3 days for the entire month winter period.
Oh, 3 days over the winter period.
Yes.
80% chance of that. So that's good. That's an okay scenario. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the base case. That's what we're working towards, and okay. We think that there is still upside to that scenario, depending, of course, on how the demand develops and the amount of time that we are still able to take advantage of the lockdown to do this catch-up maintenance. Mm. So that then, I think, gives us the opportunity to be a reliable supplier of electricity throughout the winter period. The prognosis really is quite good. However, and this is where the legacy of 10 years of under maintenance comes in. The generation system is still unstable, and we need to do catch-up maintenance of a far more deep nature than we have been able to do during lockdown. Mm. That's because of the fact that we couldn't get spares and overseas contractors to come and assist us because of international travel restrictions. Mm. So this causes the system to be unstable and not as reliable as we would like it to be, and therefore that 20% chance of potentially greater load shedding going forward. But we are working very hard as Eskom to try and mitigate that scenario.
If that worst case scenario would happen, would it be something that we've experienced before or much worse?
It would have been much worse.
Andre, I'm going to interrupt you again. You broke up there on that pivotal word, and I don't want you to be misrepresented. Did you say that that 20% chance, worst case scenario, would it be the same or worse than before?
No, it would not be nearly as bad as anything that we've experienced. Mm. So I think the answer to your question is that the worst load shedding that the country ever experienced was stage 6 during December of last year.
Yes.
And we are a very long way away from that, even in the absolute worst case scenario.
Well, that is fantastic news. Tell me something. You alluded to the maintenance now. It sounds to me like your biggest challenge since you've taken over is to catch up on maintenance. How bad was the maintenance done before you took over in recent years, in the previous years?
You know, a lot like operating a car, Martin. If you defer your 10,000 kilometer service and 20,000 and 30,000, you get away with it for a period of time. Mm. And remarkably, the car can take it and you can carry on. But eventually, all of this deferred maintenance catches up with you, and then you have to do serious repair work. And that is the situation that we find ourselves in right now. And that is why when I took the job in January of this year, I made it clear to the nation that we will have to run a risk of increased load shedding while we carry out this catch-up maintenance, unfortunately, to make up for the neglect of our maintenance practices in the past. And if we don't do this, then of course the system will only get worse and worse. So there is still work to be done. There is still catch-up to be done. Mm. But we are doing it in a very structured, organized way in order to minimize the disruption that we cause to the South African economy.
So your biggest enemies, or our biggest enemies when it comes to our power supplier, that is Eskom, would be the negligence in terms of the maintenance. What else was there what was in your top three to-do list, when you took over in January? So maintenance was one. What are the other two areas that you would say it's keeping you on your toes, and these are your big challenges?
So the other big issue, of course, is that we need to return Eskom to a sound financial footing. Mm. And for that to happen, we have to collect the debts due to us by customers who haven't been paying us. There are some 20 municipalities that collectively owe us about 28 billion rand. So that is a major area of focus of ours, and we are engaging with central government as well as with the local government association in order to address that. And then, of course, the debts that was incurred by Eskom. We have debts of about 450 billion rand, which is an enormous burden on the company in terms of the interest cost that we have to pay to service that debt. We pay in the order of about 28 billion rand, again, per annum in interest. So that is a huge burden. And it also creates a risk to the fiscus because most of that debt is, in fact, guaranteed by National Treasury. So resolving the debts, collecting what is due to us, and restoring operational stability to our plants. Those are the top three items that occupy my mind.
Just a last question, and I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time, because you see so many news and, you know, stories and takes on Eskom on social media and stuff. A lot of people always make noise about our supply to neighboring countries while we struggle to supply our own. What's the deal with that? Is that correct?
We do supply to other countries, but we also buy from other countries. So we buy from Mozambique, for example. So we are part of an organization that is known as the South African Power Pool. And this is a very intricate web of connections between us and the other countries. And if we were to stop supply to other countries, then the supply that we get from Mozambique, for example, would be terminated and we would be worse off. So this is a market that's been going on for a while, and we actually make a profit, obviously, on that supply. So that's good for the South African electricity consumer. It acts as a bit of a cross-subsidy. But it also enables us to access electricity generated elsewhere.
Fantastic. Before I let you go, a quick recap. So nothing forecast before July. If so, possible best case scenario is just a couple of days of stage one and a slight chance of a worst case scenario. But even that worst case scenario wouldn't be as bad as we experienced, for instance, stage six in December. That's basically what we're hoping for, right?
Absolutely correct, Martin. And please, if you want to get the inside information on Eskom, please feel free to talk to us directly.
You're a busy man. I realize that you have lots of challenges. Thank you for speaking to us. When this is all over, come visit us at the studio. We don't bite much. and come say, how's it? Love to your family. All the best for lockdown and going forward. And it seems to me like you're getting enough support from government to get Eskom back on track.
Yes. I think the support that I've been getting from all sorts of quarters has been absolutely fantastic. It's a tough job, lots of work to do, but it is definitely a doable job. No question about that.
Andre Reiter, Group Chief Executive of Eskom, thanks for your time. Appreciate it so much. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin.
Cheers, Andre. Bye. So, in case you just tune in, contextualize for you, we had Ted Blom. He always has lots to say about power, and we always get a heads up from him, and it's always a great discussion. He's long history within energy supply and power, and that was the response from Mr. Andre de Reiter, the Group Chief Executive that took over in January of Eskom, just so you can get all the sides to the story. If you missed any of that, you want to get the crux of it, Khada will have more for you, and you can check it out, the download on jacarandafm.com.
Wake up. With Martin Bestrom. Breakfast.
Yeah, that's the undisputed heavyweights on morning breakfast.
All I want is
my favorite
breakfast show. In your car.
Yeah, that's a great show.
At work.
You just make my day every day.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Jacaranda FM.